Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Thursday, May the 19th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 62 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. Sounds like it's going to be very, very nice outside today, and tomorrow is the day that we could possibly top 90 degrees, although the temperatures are going to fall fast over the weekend. But we might break a record tomorrow. We're right on the line. The record temperature for tomorrow, I believe, is 92 degrees. And they're saying we might get to 92 degrees. And if we just pop up one more degree, 93, we will break the record. How about that? You know, it's kind of an interesting thing because it gives the weathermen or weather women, or meteorologists, something to talk about. Because I think sometimes they don't have a whole lot to talk about. If you ever notice, it gets to be this time of year, and they start talking about all kind of things. Because there's no snow, and there's no tornadoes, and they just run out of things to talk about. So then they start talking about sun up, sun down, record-breaking temperatures. They run out of things to talk about. But I do that here on this show every morning, so it's okay. Let's see. What's on the agenda today? Well, I'll tell you, let's run down our community calendar here quickly, and then we'll get on with the show of interesting topics, we hope. June 25th, Miamisburg, Ohio, we got the Pickle Fest coming up. The dedication of Mary Ellen Withrow's Museum at the Historical Society will be June 2nd, 4 p.m. through 7 p.m. And Fred Malone told us yesterday he'll have an itinerary on that very soon. The Marion County Fair, July 4th through the 9th. And, of course, that's a little different than in past years, starting on the 4th. We've got the Caledonia Farmers Market, Caledonia Public Square, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., June through September. Locally grown produce and fruits, baked goods, honey, meat, artists, crafters, all kinds of things. They do take the food card over there, food vouchers for individuals 60 years and older. Weekly raffle for vendor products, weekly 50-50 raffle. All kinds of good stuff over in Caledonia on Saturdays starting in June. We have the 9th annual Mission Yard Sale, June 2nd through June 4th. Donations are needed to set up a drop-off time. Contact Chris Reed, 740-751-3029. That's 740-751-3029. And that's our community calendar here on WWGH Radio. I think the thing with Mary Ellen Withrow on June the 2nd is going to be great. We will be broadcasting live from that particular event, so tune in that night. WWGH Radio will be on the air. I'm not exactly sure yet who will be there with us from the station, but it'll be fun. We'll work that out. And based upon the itinerary, I will let you know as we get closer to the event what hours we will be live on the air. As I was saying to Fred Malone yesterday, who I think is going to be on with Glenn Coble today, I hope that if there is going to be a ribbon cutting or a speech or anything of that nature, that it happens, you know, maybe in the 6 to 7 hour, because a lot of people have said to me, who I've told about this, that they work until 5 or 6 o'clock, but they would like to come to the event. So hopefully that can be arranged. And I don't know if there are going to be speeches speeches given or anything of that nature. And like I've said before, I thought that the great idea was Mary Ellen signing recipe cards because she used to campaign with those, and maybe having her make something, little samples for people to try out, or having somebody at the Historical Society make things, one of her recipes for people to try while they're there. Because I'll tell you, it's interesting. Last year, we took Mary Ellen to the Bratwurst Festival with us, and she also did a thing at Kroger last year where she passed out recipe cards. And people really liked that idea, and it gave something, if they didn't bring something to get autographed, it gave them something to get autographed, the recipe card. Because she does have that famous signature, Guinness Book of World Records signature, signing more currency than anybody else in the history of the world. So that could be a really fun event. And also other dignitaries that might attend that event on June the 2nd would also be a lot of fun. And like I said, if called upon, if they need like 3 to 5 minutes to fill of funny stories about Mary Ellen that don't have to do with her time in office, I've got a couple that I don't know if the general public's ever heard. I've probably told them on the radio, but it just speaks to the type of woman that she is, and she is a great woman. And you know, we talk so much about politics on here, and Mary Ellen's a Democrat, and she supports Democrats without question. But the woman is, she just has no airs about her. The things that we have done together, she has no airs. She's just a fun woman. I talked to her the other day on the phone, and we just had the greatest conversation talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So, you know, this is one of those situations where I really don't think being a politician has anything to do with it. Because I'll tell you, being a politician now is a very divisive thing. We've seen this all over the world. Got into a conversation with Glenn Coble yesterday about Dr. Oz in this Senate primary. And the only point I was trying to make was, Dr. Oz can run for office. Anybody can run for office. That's their right and privilege in this country. I'm just confused on why people with no political experience now are starting on the state level. You know, the first office they want to run for is governor, or they want to run for state senator, or they want to run for congressperson. You know, nobody wants to start out at city council anymore. Nobody wants to start out on the school board. Nobody wants to start out as city auditor. And we've seen when you don't have experience what can happen. And I just don't know. Is the paycheck bigger, the bigger office you get? It's strange to me because politics seems to be the only office, and I said this yesterday, where we don't want experience. Not having experience is actually something we like. We rally against people who have experience. But I figured this out yesterday because I thought about that. Because I take every call into consideration. And I thought about this. You know what the funny thing is? And this is both sides, Democrats and Republicans. The funny thing is that if it's somebody they like in office, they'll vote for them, even if they're running against somebody who has no experience. But if the person in office is somebody they don't like, well, then we need that person with no experience in there. So really, the no experience thing is not what we're voting for. We're just voting against who we don't like. It's you know, it's that old thing, I think, is what it is. But that's the way it goes. That's why we're America. We can talk about anything we want. And I'll tell you, I wake up every morning and I say to myself, I'm not going to talk about this anymore because people are getting sick of it, and it's going to get me in trouble at some point, but I just can't stop talking about it. I don't have much to say about it today, the porta potty down by the mausoleum. All I want to say is I do believe it was moved, not moved in any substantial way away from the mausoleum, but I do believe it was moved away from the road. Now, some people feel it hasn't been moved. I think it has. But there you go. That's all I have to say about it today. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Any comments on anything we've talked about before? We had a few comments yesterday on the political conversation with Dr. Oz and no experience in office and so on and so forth. And as far as the mausoleum goes, you can continue to talk about it if you like. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I just wanted to tell you, there was a particular passenger of mine on the bus yesterday, and they are a longtime listener of yours, and she said she just can't get enough of you talking about the porta potty in front of the mausoleum. She really hopes that you'll just never stop, that every day that's how you'll start your program.
So she was that unhappy with it.
Oh, no, she loves it. She wants you to keep doing it, Scott. She wants daily updates about...
You know what? I
can't even say this on a third date.
Well, I'll tell you what it is about the thing. We talk about so many serious things, and there's so many serious things going on in the world, that I find this just a funny thing to talk about. And
I think it's hilarious.
That's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, I don't work down there. I don't have any family members in the mausoleum. It doesn't matter to me one way or another, but I got 2 hours to fill every morning. I got to talk about something.
Right, and what better way to do it than talk about porta potty?
Well, you know, it's funny because if I came on every morning and talked about politics and Ukraine and all that, people would say, well, you're too serious. I come on and talk about the most silly thing in the world, and they say, stop talking about that.
Right. Well, that's a surefire recipe for disaster, Scott. Try to make everybody happy.
That's right.
You'll always go wrong doing that.
If you're trying to please everybody, you won't please anybody. Well, God
all
bless
right.
That longtime listener. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-751-4038. Hey, listen, we only spent 2 minutes talking about it this morning because there are other things to talk about this morning. One thing I want to talk about is the Garth Brooks concert in Cincinnati. It didn't do too well. And I talked about this with Glenn yesterday. It was last weekend. I'm not sure where it was down in Cincinnati in one of those big stadiums. But there were stories, and you can look them up on the internet, where the show did not have good attendance, at least not the attendance they thought it was going to have. And does this mean Garth Brooks is waning? And I guess he came out and still did a great show, so kudos to him for doing that. But just doesn't have the crowd that it once did. So in honor of this, and in honor of not talking about other things that people don't want to hear about, we've composed a top 10 list in regard to Garth Brooks. Now, this is stolen right from David Letterman. No doubt about it. I'm stealing this right from David Letterman. But to be honest with you, as David Letterman once said, most everything in talk show history is stolen in one way or another. You know, Carson, Johnny Carson, if you remember him, he did Carnac for years and years and years, where you give the answer before you give the question. Well, Johnny Carson wasn't the first one to do that. Steve Allen did that years before, and he called it the Answer Man. So most everything in talk shows has been stolen. So me stealing a top 10 list for one morning here, I don't think is that big a deal. But from the home office, located in the porta potty next to the mausoleum, top 10 signs Garth Brooks is nuts. You know, he was in Cincinnati, didn't fill up the stadium like he should have or would have in his days. So the top 10 signs that Garth Brooks is nuts. Here we go. Number 10, hands you a cigar and proudly, if I could read, this would go over better. Number 10, hands you a cigar and proudly says, my cowboy hat's pregnant. Well, that would be a sign you're nuts. Number 9, is seriously considering operation that will make him Lady Gaga stand-in. Number 9. Number 8, earlier today endorsed Ted Williams for governor. Well, right there. That's a sign that you're nuts. Top 10 signs Garth Brooks is nuts. Number 7. just released a collection of love songs about Danny DeVito. That would be a sign that you're nuts. Absolutely. Number six, spends hours alone in bedroom, roping the wind. I don't even know what that means. Number five, new album, just 40 minutes of old answering machine messages. Now that's a good one. I like that. Top 10 signs Garth Brooks is nuts. Number four, speeds up all vocal tracks to sound more like them adorable chipmunks. Well, there you go. That would be a sign you're nuts. Number three, trashes hotel room, cleans up and vacuums hotel room, leaves himself generous housekeeping tip. Top 10 signs Garth Brooks is nuts. Number two, phones Kenny Rogers' wife late at night and whispers, "I'm holding them." You know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. See, that joke's a little dated if you're not a big Kenny Rogers fan. Okay, and the number one reason, number one sign that Garth Brooks is nuts, has all his money on the Reds. That would definitely be a sign that you're nuts. Well, there you go. Totally ripped off from David Letterman without question, but the top 10 signs Garth Brooks is nuts. Comedy is crucial here on the morning show. The answering machine one was good. I enjoyed that. Have you ever listened to lyrics to Garth Brooks songs, by the way? You know, he has a way of singing them that are very good, but have you ever listened to the lyrics of some of those songs? They don't make any sense, but that's such with all songs. You know, sometimes the people sing the songs and they're big hits and people love them, but if you actually took the time and read the lyrics to the songs, you would understand how silly these lyrics are. All right, did you like the top 10 list? Give me a buzz here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. See, my favorite on that one was definitely the answering machine one. I think that's, whoever came up with that, that was very clever. New album, just 40 minutes of old answering machine messages. See, that's not bad. 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open here. Oh, I've got a story this morning. I love this story. This is probably one of the favorite stories I've ever covered on this show. Okay, here we go. I'm sure you've seen this, too, because it's been covered by national news in the last couple days. Don Gorski is the ultimate Big Mac fan. You won't be surprised to hear that Don Gorski thinks the burger is the best sandwich in the world. You'd have to think so to eat one almost every day for 50 years. More often than not, he actually eats two Big Macs a day. In August 2021, Don celebrated the record for eating the most Big Mac burgers eaten in a lifetime with a new official total of 32,340 Big Macs eaten in Don's life. However, that still wasn't enough to satisfy Don's appetite for the iconic hamburger. May 17th, 2 days ago, 2022, marked the 50-year anniversary of him eating the McDonald's burger almost daily, missing only 8 days over the last half century. Don went down to his local McDonald's restaurant in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, to celebrate his Big Mac-iversary, the very same branch where he had his first Big Mac burger in 1972. According to Don, it was love at first bite. In that moment, he said, "I'm going to probably eat these for the rest of my life." Don and his local McDonald's have a very special relationship. He even has his portrait hung on the wall. On the day of his munching milestone, the branch had a sign outside that read, "Congrats, Don, on 50 years of Max." Don's record for the most Big Macs eaten in a lifetime was first officially recognized in 1999 with 15,000. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Since then, the record has more than doubled. He keeps meticulous details of all of the burgers he's eaten, keeping each individual burger carton and receipt. I bet his house is nice. He also has glass cases which contains burger cartons from different time periods, charting the design differences throughout the decades. Don has tried a couple of other different burgers over the years, but none captured his heart like the Big Mac. And this is a quote from Don. I'll probably be eating Big Macs every day for the rest of my life. Well, isn't that great? 50 years of eating a Big Mac every day, and right now having consumed 32,340 Big Macs in his lifetime. And that's a running total because, you know, he eats one or two every day. What a story. Now, I should mention, we talked about this yesterday, Big Macs are not Big Macs. If Big Macs were on sale, Don would probably be down there more often. But the sausage cheese McMuffins are 59 cents this month to our Monday through Friday. I don't think it's that way on the weekend. And we learned that the McDoubles are a dollar Monday through Friday right now through the month of May. So there you go. Does anybody have any thoughts on Don Gorski celebrating 50 years of eating a Big Mac every day? 50 years of eating a Big Mac every day. He's eaten over 32,340 Big Macs. Probably going to have a couple more today. Has eaten one since May the 17th, 1972. What an interesting story. Okay. Well, in honor of Don, because we like to honor things like that, I thought we would do some Big Mac trivia. You know, really, in this whole thing, I think I should be on the wall down here at the Mount Vernon branch of McDonald's, maybe having most sodas every day. Although I usually don't go on the weekend, so I don't know if I could get a consecutive total going. And I haven't kept the receipts or the cups, so I really don't know how many I've consumed over the years. But congratulations to Don. Okay, let's see how good you are on Big Mac trivia. Now here's an easy one right off the bat. How old is the Big Mac? How many years has the Big Mac been around? All you got to do is guess a time frame. How many years has the Big Mac been around? 740-751-4038. How many years has the Big Mac been around? Well, we know it's over 50 because Don has been eating them for 50 years. But you know, when you think about it, McDonald's didn't start, I don't have the year when they started, so it's got to be over 50 but under a certain amount of years because McDonald's just hasn't been around that long. So the question is, how many years has the Big Mac been around? Does anybody know? 740-751-4038. Now, I'll give you another question here about the Big Mac. Let's see if we can get it up here. Let's see. Okay, here's another one about the Big Mac. There were a type of workers that it was created for. Now, did you know that? The Big Mac was created for a type of worker, a type of job. What type of worker was the Big Mac created for? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Has the Big Mac been around about 60 years?
Not 60, but you're in the ballpark. What do you make of old Don Gorski?
I can't imagine eating a Big Mac every day.
Maybe two.
Yeah, maybe two. I mean, I like Big Macs, but not eat one every day.
You don't want to tear into one every day and go after Don's record?
No, that would probably reverse the effects of what I've done to get to where I'm at in my weight.
Well, you know, this brings up an interesting question, because there is a picture of Don here, and he's not a big guy, and I'm guessing that, you know, he's obviously over 50 years old. I think he's in his 60s. But it's just fascinating that I'm sure he doesn't have any health concerns, or else he would be told to stop eating these every day. So maybe it's not fast food. Maybe it's moderation.
Well, that, and he probably exercises like a madman, because there's, what, about 1,500 calories or so in just one Big Mac? I mean, that's pretty much almost your daily allowance, really.
It to me, that is just the most interesting story, that somebody goes to a McDonald's in 1972, and from that point on, for a half century of their life, this is what they eat every day. I mean,
yeah,
doesn't
I
he?
That's okay if that's what you want.
Doesn't he ever want like a French toast or something? Maybe a grilled cheese.
Maybe he eats breakfast, and then for lunch he gets a Big Mac, and then for dinner maybe he gets a Big Mac.
I don't know. His poor family. Poor family. I don't know what they do.
I'd like to know what he thinks about the price going up over them 50 years.
Well, I wonder how much the Big Mac cost in 1972.
Didn't tell you. Can't remember 1972, but not how much the Big Mac was.
We'll see what shows up. But, yeah, not 60 years, but a good guess. You're in the right neighborhood.
All right.
Okay. All right, 740-751-4038. How old is the Big Mac? Does anybody know that? How old is the Big Mac? Or the other question, what kind of worker was the Big Mac created for? It was created for a specific type of worker, a job. Who was the Big Mac created for? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. The two questions on the table. How old is the Big Mac? Or what kind of worker, what kind of job was the Big Mac created for? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Big Mac trivia. I'll throw one more Big Mac question at you here. The special sauce that's on the Big Mac, which I think really makes the Big Mac the Big Mac, what year did it get that nickname? Does anybody know the year that the Big Mac, or the special sauce on the Big Mac, got its nickname? What year did that happen? 740-751-4038. 63 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. Big Mac trivia, celebrating Don Gorski, who this week, on May the 17th, celebrated 50 years of eating a Big Mac or two every day. All right. 740-751-4038. Apparently not a lot of knowledge out there about the Big Mac. And I know everybody in the audience has probably had a Big Mac at one point or another in their life. What year did the special sauce get its name? Does anybody know the year? What kind of worker was the Big Mac created for? How many years has the Big Mac been around? You know, it's over 50. 740-751-4038. 42 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Does anybody know the answer? You know, I think the Garth Brooks top 10 list might have sunk us this morning. We went with that, and it sunk us. It has sunk us dead. Now we can get nowhere with the Big Mac trivia. Does anybody have a guess on how old the Big Mac is? Remember, has to be over 50 years old. 740-751-4038. All right, let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
I'll say 56 years, Scott.
Not 56, but that's pretty good. Did you hear the Garth Brooks top 10 earlier?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you make of that?
That's pretty interesting.
See, I thought it was interesting, but I think it sunk us.
You didn't come up with that?
No, I didn't come up with that.
You got that off the internet or something?
Yeah, that came... Well, it was actually a collaboration from some people. Because, you know, the running for... endorsing Ted Williams, obviously that wasn't an original top 10 list, but no, that wasn't my creation.
You know, the problem with Big Mac is they use those real little bitty hamburgers on there. You really can't taste burger on it.
Now, does McDonald's have a big hamburger?
No, well, they got the quarter pounder, but they don't have like a Whopper.
Now, how
big? Think the Big Mac would be like a Whopper, but you know, the Whopper, you get a great big old piece of beef. The Big Mac, you get two little itty bitty patties of beef that's on the McDoubles or a regular hamburger. When I get a Big Mac, I always order a McDouble and take the hamburger patties off the McDouble, put it on the Big Mac. So there's some meat on there.
Now is a Whopper bigger than a quarter pounder?
I think it is.
So does the Whopper weigh a pound?
No, I don't think it weighs a pound.
Maybe a half pound?
Maybe a third of a pound, I don't know.
I don't know.
But it seems to be, I don't go to Burger King too often.
You know what, it's weird to me, because when I drive up and down the road here on 95, McDonald's is always crazy busy. Wendy's usually has a line out to the street. Burger King never seems busy. And I don't know why that is. I don't know what it is about Burger King that it doesn't draw the crowds that Wendy's and McDonald's draw.
Yeah, but they redid both of our Burger King, so they must be making money.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they do. I'm sure people go through there, but it's just interesting to me that they don't have the business, it doesn't seem like, that Wendy's and McDonald's do. And I don't really understand why. I mean, they're all burger places. They're all fry places. They're all that sort of place. And I don't understand what it is about Burger King that separates them so heavily from the other two.
Yeah, and Wendy's, they redid both of their places.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Wendy's, very rarely have I ever pulled into Wendy's and not had to wait in line.
Well, you talk about, you know, these people with name recognition running for office.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how old Scott Sturgis done it, you know, starting out as city council and stuff. That's, a lot of times, that's how people, it takes a while for them to get a name out in front of people.
Well, it's interesting.
But when, like Dr. Oz, when you're already popular, or that wrestler, or Ronald Reagan, or, you know, people like that that have a name behind them, they get to skip all that.
Well, not really, though. See, Ronald Reagan had been governor of California, and
he didn't start out as a councilman or
no. No, not a councilman, but he was not. He didn't just say, "I'm going to run for president." And Jesse Ventura, the governor from Minnesota, he started out as a mayor. He was the mayor, I think, of Brooklyn Heights, Minnesota, before he ran for governor.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, so, you know, even those two had held political office before they went on to the next level. And I think about our mayors here in town. Scott Schertzer had been a city council person. Jack Kellogg had been a city council person. Doc Brown had been a city council person and a county commissioner. Those are our last three mayors, which make up more than, I think, close to 40 years of mayors here in town, and they all were city council people before they ran for mayor.
But none of the other mayors ran for a higher office, did they?
Our mayors?
No, any of the other our mayors. Jack Kellogg and Brown and
Jack Kellogg, I don't think ever did, but Brown had done so. You know, he had been the superintendent of schools. He had been a county commissioner. He'd been a city council person, and then he ended his career being mayor. And he also got Alzheimer's toward the end of his term as mayor. So I don't think there was any chance of him going any further.
But a lot of times that's what it takes, you know, years being in politics to get your name out there.
That's true. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Go ahead, caller.
55 years.
Not 55, but we're getting warmer, as they say.
And he invented it for the steel workers.
He did invent it for the steel workers. Did you Google that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It says the mastermind behind the Big Mac was Jim Delgatti, the owner of the Uniontown restaurant. And apparently many of his customers were steel workers who worked in the steel mills, and they were hungry, and that's why the big sandwich was made for
the double hamburger. It said that it hit a bump in the road and wasn't given the okay until 1967. So I just subtracted 67 from 2022 is how I come up with the 55.
Well, I tell you, you're definitely close. You're definitely close on the years. Not 55, but you're close.
Okay,
thank you. How old is the Big Mac in years? We've had a guess of 60 and 55. We're not far off. We know it's older than 50. Let's put it that way. Because Don Gorski has been eating them for 50 years as of May 17th. Does anybody know how old the Big Mac is? And yes, it was created for steel workers who worked in the steel mills who had a ravenous appetite. Now, we have the other question here in regard to the special sauce. When did the special sauce get its name? Because that's what it's called, the special sauce. That's the nickname. What year did the special sauce on the Big Mac get its name? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. Do we have another question here? Well, here's a fun one. And this is not an exact question. This won't have an exact answer, I guess is what I should say. But I'll give you like a 25 answer gap. Here's what the question is. How many sesame seeds are on a Big Mac? And if you get within 25, I'll give it to you. Go ahead, caller.
54
years. 54. Let me take a look here. Not 54, but boy, that's close.
Now the, Now I forgot it.
The special sauce?
I forgot that. I had it right on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot.
Keep thinking.
I thought they said that the Big Mac was official in 68, so that would be 54. My math is off.
Well, you know, hold on, let me look here. I'll tell you, this is interesting. It says it did debut in August of 1968, but let's see here. In August 1968, a new super sandwich called McDonald's Big Mac became available to customers nationwide. It had debuted the year before in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, McDonald's location. With its approval, the Big Mac went nationwide, and the rest is history. So I guess being in August, it would be 53 years. We're not quite at 54 yet. In August, it'll be 54 years.
Oh.
So we'll say 53 years. That's you were close enough, though.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, the Big Mac is 53 years old, and in August, it will be 54 years old. We're all excited about that, I'm sure. So, Here we go. We've got that answer. What year did the special sauce get its nickname? What year did they start calling it the special sauce? Now, we know it's got to be after 1968. 740-751-4038. And the other question, how many sesame seeds are on a Big Mac bun? Now, if you get within 25 of the answer, I'll give it to you. How many sesame seeds do you think are on a Big Mac bun? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Or what year did the special sauce get its nickname? You know it's got to be after 68. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
I'll say 300.
300. 300's not within 25, but you're not too far off.
Here's one thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Have you seen White Castle's ad, or 1921 burger?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they're advertising on TV. It's a thicker burger. They cook it on the grill. That's commemorative of the first, 1921 burger that White House made. Evidently, they didn't start out with the steam burger, on the bed of onions and putting the buns on top of them. Evidently, they started out with a thicker burger and had lettuce and tomato and all that on it. It wasn't steamed. It was just cooked on a grill.
So are they cooking it on a grill now, the 1921 burger?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
I always thought the White Castle you bought today was how it was when they first started up, but evidently not.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, look for that.
I'll have to keep an eye out.
That'll help jog your memory when you see it, but, to see the size of the burger and, what it was back then, I always thought that what you got today was what you had in 1921, but evidently not.
I'll keep an eye out for that in the Lume commercials.
Oh, yeah, it's starting to get on TV all the time now.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right, phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. How many sesame seeds are on a Big Mac bun, or what year did the special sauce get its nickname? Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, how are you on this very summery morning?
Doing fine.
300 was not within 50. I'll guess both. Let's say like 195. I don't think it's really over, much over the mid 200s. 195 within 50.
I said within 25, but
25. I'll still go for 195.
195. No, not correct.
And the year. Let's go for a year that was kind of lucky for me. 73.
Not 73, but a good guess.
Okay, that's all I had for you. I invite our listeners to look at our fabulous website as one of our programmers has made some updates, and it's looking pretty good.
Oh, good. I'll have to check that out, the website updates.
Yeah, with more to come, but yeah. And more pictures of our very handsome webmaster also.
All right, later. I think that's a matter of opinion. Thanks, Adam. Bye-bye. All right, 740-751-4038. How many sesame seeds on a Big Mac? Boy, oh boy. The website, go to the website, check out the updates. This is important. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
1974.
Yes, that's when Adam was close. That's when the special sauce got its nickname. You got it. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, 1974 is when the special sauce got its nickname. All right, so we're looking here 57 minutes past the hour. How many sesame seeds are on a Big Mac? If you get within 25, I'll give you the answer. 740-751-4038. And here's another one for you. Who came up with the name for the Big Mac? You don't have to give me the name of the person, but what position was she in? It was a woman. She had a position with the company. Who came up with the name Big Mac? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Who came up with the name for the Big Mac? Fascinating. How many sesame seeds on a Big Mac? If you get within 25, I'll give it to you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Check out the website. New web design going on there, wwgh1071.com. That's very nice. All right. No answers. 59 minutes past the hour. Coming up on a break here, 740-751-4038. How many sesame seeds are on a Big Mac? If you get within 25, I'll give you the answer. And there was a woman who named the Big Mac. What was her position in the company? Go ahead, caller.
For the sesame seeds, I'll say 400.
400 is right, between 385 and 400 on the Big Mac.
Oh, lucky guess.
You got it. Congratulations.
Cool. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, between 385 and 400 sesame seeds on a Big Mac. Count them next time. All right, 15-minute break, and we'll be back. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do. Just, you know.